Christ Jesus. And most of all, salvation has a name, and it's Jesus. The world may disagree with that. I've disagreed with it a time or two. But I want to read a portion of Scripture from Deuteronomy that says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." You've been handpicked, whether you realize it or not, to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That makes you quite special, whether you realize it or not. Don't ever let the world tell you you're not special as a Christian. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all the people." He's speaking, referring to Israel. But this, I believe, applies to the church also. "But because the Lord loved you, and because you keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen." He brought you out of sin. From the hand of Pharaoh of Egypt. He wants to bring you out of the world. He says, "Love not the world, the things that are of the world. For all is the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's not of the fathers of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof." Right? "But he that doeth the will of God abides forever." It's his will that we come out of the world. "Know therefore that the Lord, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy to them that love him, keep his commandments unto 1,000 generations. I'd say that applies to us. Let's worship him this morning. Holiness has a name. It's Jesus. Victory has a name. Would you agree with me? It's Jesus. The Word has a name. It's Jesus. Redemption has a name. It's Jesus. And salvation has a name. And we love his name.
I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by. I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything I have, everything away. How can I explain this moment that we're in? I'm hearing heaven calling me higher than I've ever been. I cannot speak, just present. It's indescribable, it's undeniable. I'm trembling, 'cause you are near.
I am here for you, to worship you. This moment will not pass me by, 'cause I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything away.
The sound of heaven is all around. Hear the mighty rushing wind. All of the people are worshiping. We fall and rise.
'cause I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by, 'cause I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything away. I hear you call my name, I'll never be the same. Oh,
if you'd like. Thank you. Jesus.
The ushers may come.
Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I worship you,
and I worship you.
You are Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I glorify you,
and I glorify you.
There is no other,
there is no
other, other God like you,
no other God like you. Your name be praised.
You are Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I worship you,
and I worship you.
You are Jehovah,
and I glorify you,
and I glorify you.
There is no other,
there is no other,
no other God like you,
no other God like you.
Your name be praised.
I am,
which was and is to come.
You're the Lion,
you're the Lion,
you're the Lamb,
you're the Lamb. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Temple,
for you are high and lifted up. Your name be praised.
You are Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I worship you,
and I worship you.
You are Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I glorify you,
and I glorify you.
There is no other,
there is no other,
other God like you,
no other God like you. Your name
is to come. You're the Lion,
you're the Lion,
you're the Lamb,
you're the Lamb. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your train
fills
the temple,
the temple. For you are high and lifted up. Your name be praised.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on, lift up
the
name of Jesus.
Won't you lift
up the name of Jesus? Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on,
lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on and lift up
the name of Jesus.
Won't you
lift up the name of Jesus? Lift up the name of Jesus. Your name be praised.
You're the Lion,
you're the Lion,
you're the Lamb,
you're the Lamb.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your train
fills the temple,
fills the temple. For you are high and lifted up. Your name be praised.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you help me
lift up the name of Jesus?
Come on,
lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on and lift up,
lift
his
up
name.
The name of Jesus.
Won't you lift,
lift
it up
the name of Jesus? Lift up the name of Jesus. Your name be praised.
I am,
which was and is to come.
You're the Lion,
you're the Lion,
you're the Lamb,
you're the Lamb. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your train,
for you are high and lifted up. Your name be praised. Your name be praised. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Your name is to be praised, God. Your name is to be lifted up, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So good to know the name of Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus, to praise the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad you know the name that is above every name? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated for a few moments. We want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. I remind you tonight, continuing in our Financial Peace University, and nearing the end of the course, and so I hope those that have been able and availed yourself to it, that you recognize what it's done in the sense of helping us and allowing us to understand how to handle God's money, God's way, for God's glory. And so we continue in that tonight, and I ask you to come beginning at 6 o'clock. And tonight and the next week are basically the last 2 weeks, final two lessons in our Financial Peace University. And so we encourage you to come be a part of that. This coming Saturday morning, ladies, there is a fellowship at Sister Angie Duell's house at 9 a.m. Did I get that time right? All right, good, because that's what I wrote down. And so we encourage you to go be a part of that. It's at Sister Duell's residence. If you do not know where she lives, well, then shame on you. You should know where she lives. No, I'm kidding. You can see her, and I'm sure she can tell you where she lives. I hope. And okay, I'm going to stop. Ladies Fellowship at the Duell's residence, 9 o'clock. I'm just going to be like real monotone and hope you go. Wednesday night, adult Bible study. I want you to come. I have been enjoying, and I know it's probably because it's kind of my forte, but I've been enjoying studying in order to teach, and I hope that you have been receiving from the teaching, and just what a wonderful adventure you will, if you will. We have started out in learning more about God. And you, I don't care how long you've been doing this. I don't care how many services you've been, how many lessons you've been taught. There's always something new. It's an eternal word. It's ever living, if you will. And so it's another opportunity for you and I to come in the middle of our week and be fed full and high, be encouraged in spirit. And so we encourage you to do that. Regular scheduled services next Sunday. And just looking forward to all they got. If you would like to go, there are youth rallies happening every Friday night for the next 3 Fridays. So if you want to go and be a part of that, we certainly encourage you to go and be a part of the youth revival that is happening in our section at Life Church at Rock Run in Joliet. And I believe that is happening on the 20th, the night of the 20th. And there's a little after thing that they're having. So if young people and youth leaders and all, if you can't make it, all of them, we'll at least make that one. And then there is the Arise Worship Extravaganza. This is open for everybody and all. If you want to go and hear some wonderful, wonderful worship music unto God, they call it a worship extravaganza because there's no preaching except for maybe some little exhortation they may give during the process. But it's not a formal church format, if you will. And but it is a wonderful time. My family and I were able to go and be part of it last year, and just we were blessed. And had a packed crowd. What a great atmosphere. And it was just beautiful to be in the presence of the Lord and so many people worshiping Him. And so we encourage you to go and be a part of that if at all possible. And if we have enough that need rides, we can certainly accommodate that via the van and make sure you get there. And so there's just a lot happening here in the next few weeks. I was telling my kids on the way to church this morning, I said, you guys realize you only got about a month and a half left of school? And of course, they were excited. And for mom and dad, that means summer. of busyness and kids full time. So I don't know that we're looking forward to that as much, but it's all good. And we are quickly approaching, even though the weather does not feel like it, we are quickly approaching summer. And we hope that our weather will pick up the pace and meet us there. And the temperatures will get warmer here very soon. I'm looking forward to that. I know they're talking about possibility of snow, but we're just going to rebuke that and hope that the sunshine comes instead. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'll go ahead and make a disclaimer at the onset. If this morning I am not on my A game, you can blame some culprits who forced me to spend extra time removing a bunch of plasticware and toilet paper from my home and yard. Is there a confession? Admission of guilt? Okay. This is true. I have to practice what I preach this morning in the lesson, and so there will be no vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance is the Lord's. But if I drop a melon this morning, you can blame the young people. Still love them. I still love them, even though there was lots of pickup. It's all right. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter number 12, begin reading of verse number 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Everybody say believed. Among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Everybody say confess. They believed, but they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed, they would not confess, because they feared. Because they feared the Pharisees, what might happen if it was found out that they believed in this man called Jesus? The possibility of being put out of the synagogue and no longer holding their position, no longer being a ruler of the people, no longer having the pull or the popularity or whatever it was that caused them to consider remaining silent. Believed on him. They would not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And here's the reason why they would not confess it. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I want to preach to you upon this subject this morning. Whose praise is more important? Whose praise is more important? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for another opportunity to hear your word. Would be enriched in our lives, God, as your word goes forth. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, to be challenged, God, to be stirred in spirit, Lord, to accept, God, what the Spirit would say through your word, God, and that we would be challenged to do your will and to go from this place, God, representing in our daily lives, God, a confession, Lord, that we are followers of you, God, not to be swayed by peer pressure or popular opinion, Lord, but to place our hope and our strength and our faith securely in you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, God. We ask that we would sincerely consider the question, whose praise is more important? We thank you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Whose praise is more important? They saw the miracles. They heard his teachings. They admitted, even amongst themselves, that never a man spoke as this man. He was undeniably different. His effectiveness in turning people to follow him was unprecedented. They had others who had swayed some. They had seen others come and go. They had witnessed as others had rallied people behind them and had a show of support, but no one did it in the way that this man did. No one was able to gather the crowds that Jesus was able to gather. Nobody was talked about in that day and time more than Jesus. He was heralded throughout the streets, his deeds and his exploits, the miracles which he performed, caused those who were sitting in the way when they heard that he would even pass by to cry out unto him, requesting that they be healed. Chief rulers, when they got together, and we're not privy to many of the conversations that must have taken place behind closed doors, but undoubtedly they discussed him. Undoubtedly they talked about him. The Bible even goes as far to say that they believed on him.
of them. It was undeniable what was going on. When they tried to bring others as a witness against him, and when they tried to somehow look into the validity of what was going on, try to make it as being something that was false, he couldn't do so. Witnesses of what had happened, and even relatives of those that had been healed would come and make a witness that God had healed and that something miraculous had taken place. Even Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus at night, he said, We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Discuss this among ourselves. It's obvious that you're different. It's obvious. Something has led me to approach you here in the darkness of night to ask you what I must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus, you're special. That is without question. The Bible says even though many believed on him, when it came to confessing, when it came to admitting, to making an open show of their faith, to proudly and publicly affirm their willingness to follow him, the Bible says they held back. They feared. They weren't sure of what the response would be. Matter of fact, they figured the response would be negative and not in their favor. The Bible specifically says, chief rulers, if you do a little study, you will find that it is more specifically mentioning the members of the Sanhedrin court. Those that were chief rulers among the people, they were the religious leaders of the day. They had prestige and they had prominence. They had, many of them, very luxurious living, and they had at their disposal possessions and wealth. And many of them were very affluent men among the society. And so they were well known and recognized throughout the communities. They were the chief rulers of the day. They had a certain social status. They had many possessions. They had temporal stuff to lose if they were to be removed from their seat. They had a family to consider what would happen to them, possibly, if they were shamed and they were cast out of the synagogue. Their name, which meant a lot to people of that day, their family name could have been marred and scarred. Could have been as a byword among the people. And so when it came to confessing him, when it came to publicly affirming, hey, I believe in this man, they would not do so. For they feared the Pharisees. Their decision was not made before we look at them with disdain, before we try to pinpoint their failures and their faults. We need to understand that their decision was not made without consideration of consequence. It was a weighty decision. They had much pull among the people. And though they believed, it's sad to note that their faith was not strong enough to have them confess. The pull of their power and their prestige and their prominence and their place is more powerful than their pull to forsake all and follow him. And so while they believed, they did not confess. If you look up that word confess, you'll find that it means in full agreement, to align oneself with. They believed. Yes, this man is special. Yes, the miracles that he's doing are undeniable in the words that he's saying, though they challenge our beliefs, if you will, and what we've held as tradition for so long. It's obvious. This man speaks one as having authority. He speaks differently. I don't know how Jesus spoke, in the sense of how audible he was, whether he was a demonstrative teacher. I don't know if he was like me and he would spit and sputter. Probably not. He was probably more calm, except for the time when he banded together small cords and drove out the money changers. I can imagine he was a little irritated then. I can imagine maybe he raised his voice in anger. I can imagine maybe he screamed. I can imagine he, as a man, had emotion. I can imagine that he was passionate. The Bible says that he rejoiced in that time. It said the word is agileo, meaning that he danced about. I believe that he was a demonstrative person. Something about the way he spoke caused him to say, never a man spoke as this man. And many orators and many people throughout our ages who have stood and proclaimed, and their stories have been passed down through the ages of prophets and those that have spoken before, and the attention that they held. No man spoke as this man. While I believe him, be in full agreement with him, to align my life with his, to forsake all and follow after him, to do what he's saying to do, though I believe him, just can't bring myself to confess it. The Bible makes a note because of the Pharisees. See, it's interesting to note that the Pharisees made up the largest portion of the Sanhedrin. They were the majority. The Bible specifically points out that because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him. Because the majority didn't see it that way, the minority feared. And in fear of reprisal, they refused to confess. Now we're starting to bring it home. Now we're starting to understand. The Bible says, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. What it really boiled down to is that they were more concerned with how they were seen among their brethren. They were more. The power of peer pressure was greater in their regard than the power to pick up and forsake all and follow after Jesus. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. You may want to pull your feet under the pew for a few moments, and I don't seek to be injurious to anybody, but you need to understand there is something that is indicative of my desire for the praises of men more than the praises of God, even among the church community. For when I can go to a conference, or I can go to a convention, or I can go to a place where everybody else is praising, and everybody else is lifting their arms, and the majority is doing it, and the majority's singing, and the majority's rocking, and the majority's dancing, and I can get involved with them, and I can do it there, and I can raise my hands there, and I can pray there, and I can cry there. But when it comes, I'm preaching now. But when it comes to coming back to home church, where maybe not everybody else is doing it, and now I'm kind of the minority among the midst, can I still lift my hands? Whose praise is more important? Do I acknowledge that I'd rather have the praises of God more than the praises of men? It's real now. Because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess him. But the popular opinion is you don't follow Jesus. We cannot deny his miracles, and we have to affirm that he is something special. But because of the Pharisees, because the majority are not swayed that way, I'll just stay where I'm at. You need to understand that's indicative of a statement, of a life statement that says, I would rather have the praises of men than the praises of God. It doesn't matter what atmosphere I'm in. It doesn't matter if everybody's doing it or nobody's doing it. I want the praises of God more than the praises of men. I will step out and publicly affirm. I will proudly stand and say, hey, I want his praises. The Bible says that praise is comely unto the Lord. He finds it beautiful when we lift our hands. He finds it beautiful when we clap. He finds it beautiful when we show our emotions. He created us emotional creatures. We express our passion for the things of God. We need to understand we can pray at a table full of church folks for our meal, but when we gather around a bunch of people who don't go to church, and we real quickly bow our heads and get through the process so we don't feel guilty about it. Wait a second. What is the catalyst for that? Why don't I, if I'm wearing a hat, remove my hat and bow my head and say, excuse me for a moment, I'm going to bless my meal. reason why we may not do that is because we like the praises of men more than of God. So the question remains, whose praise is more important? Listen, I learned a long time ago, if I'm waiting on the majority to get on board, if I'm going to wait for all the Pharisees to agree with me before I get on the train, I'm just never going to get on board. I've got to make a decision for myself. I've got to make up my own mind. Whether everybody's doing it or nobody's doing it, I want the praises of God more than the praises of men. It's not contingent upon what you feel. Hey, listen, there is such a liberty. I'm going to get on this for a while. There is such a liberty in not being bound by the opinion of other people. There is such a freedom in being willing to worship no matter what the circumstances are and no matter who's around me or who's not around me. Listen, my praise is not contingent upon the audience of who's around me. My praise is contingent upon the audience of one. My praise is contingent upon the one who created it all. My praise, it doesn't matter how you view it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. Your opinion has no sway over me. I want the praises of God more than the praises of men. I want him to appreciate what I'm doing. And so I will clap my hands and I will lift my voice. The praises of God are more important to me than the praises of men. If I can get to the place. See, the Pharisees, they represent a type of peer pressure. My social circle. You need to understand, Pastor, that's the people that I interact with, and they don't do that. They don't live like that. Well, they may not. My life is not predicated upon what they do or do not do. My life is predicated upon whose praise is more important to me and his praise, for him to look down from heaven and find pleasure in my life, in what I do and how I live, whether it be within these four walls, whether it be outside, living life on a daily basis. His praise is more important to me and how he views me. And so I will study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I understand that praise is comely, and so I will praise him. Apostle Paul said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It doesn't matter the scenario or the situation. The question really is, whose praise is more important? Who am I attempting to please? Do I care more for how you feel or your opinion of me than I do, my Heavenly Father? Do I seek? See, there comes a point in time, and you'll have to forgive me for using my own personal example, but can I just make it kind of and bring it to a human relationship? When it comes to my little girl, as a father, as a daughter, comes to my little princess, I want our love to be so strong. And I want her to have such an affection, a desire to be pleasing unto her father. When that knucklehead, excuse me, a little bit of protective father coming out. When that knucklehead tries to get her to do stuff that she knows would not be pleasing unto her father, I pray that love that is between her and I is so strong. And she says, no, I won't disappoint my daddy. I have such a love and affection, and my relationship with him means more to me than what you're offering me. It's got to be that way in relationship to our Heavenly Father, because he's always, the enemy of our soul is always going to entice. He's always going to try to get us, hey, I got this for you, or why don't you turn this way, or why don't you do this, or I'll make you popular in this sense. Listen. What profit is to me if I become world renowned? But the one who made the world looks at me and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Whose praise is more important? The words I want to hear more than any other words. And I love to hear, "I love you," from my wife and my children. I love praise, and we do as humans. We love acclamation. We love compliments. We love people to tell us how well we look or how well we did. And I'm not demeaning all that. I understand there's something to be said for that. But you need to understand, my self-worth does not come from your opinion of me. And who I view myself to be doesn't come from you. I love you folks, but if after service today you came up here and all of you unanimously said, "Hey, we don't care for you anymore," it would hurt. But you need to know something. I'd get over it. And you want to know how I'd get over it? Because my validation does not come from you. I love you and I appreciate you. And if you walk out, I'm going to cry and weep for your soul. But it will not cause me to change my opinion of whose praise is more important to me. His praise supersedes the praise of everybody else. And my self-worth does not come from how you feel about me. It comes from my relationship with my Father. His praise is what is important to me. I desire to please Him. I desire to live a life that shows I believe His will. You see, here's the reality. The more the praise of men affects my life, the more likely I am to forfeit the confession of my faith. Say that again. The more I allow the praise of men to affect my life, and I am swayed by man's opinion and their praise or lack thereof, the more that changes my view, and the more that causes me to develop or not develop or evolve as an individual, the more I allow the opinions of people and the praise of other people to sway what I do and how I live, I need to recognize the more that I will forfeit a true confession to God. There's no way around that. That's the reality. And so every day of my life, I seek to show that the approval of my God is more important than the approval of my peers. That His way is what matters more than anything else. The words I long to hear more than any others are, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I long to hear. It's more important to me that those words are said to me than any words could ever be said for any accomplishment, any achievement. I just want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I strive to show in my life whose praise is more important to me. It's all about relationship. It comes down to it. To fall in love with one means to fall out of love with the other. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You'll hold on to one and you'll let go of the other eventually. We'll be determined eventually. You will release one and hold on to the other." And so I want to fall more and more in love with Jesus. Fall more out of love the things of this world. Because it's His praise that is more important to me. Let me just get real serious. And you say, "We're already serious," but listen.
even when it comes to something as serious as a marriage relationship. There has to be a determination. There has to be something. There has to be a resolve in the soul, in the spirit that says, if my spouse does not serve or my spouse does not want to live after the things of God, there has to be something inside of me. While I love that individual, and while I will continue to love that individual, it's his praise that's more important to me. It's his praise that is the catalyst for my conduct and my behavior. And so it's his praise that is more important. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I realize that we looked at a select group that the Bible mentions, the chief rulers. I realize that they had a lot to lose. I'm not making light of their decision. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to convince you and I that the decision that they made was one without consideration of consequence. This I do know. I've seen people not confess him for a lot less. I've seen people walk away from a relationship with God simply because a good friend didn't want to hang out with them if they kept doing that. Can I just be real? At some point in time, loyalty is only proven in the midst of adversity. At some point in time, I'm going to come to a crossroad in my walking relationship with God, where I'm going to have to choose whose praise is more important to me. Going to be decisions that I'm going to come up to. Considerations and temptations that assail my life, and I am going to have to make a decision. The way I respond and what I do and the behavior that comes forth as a result of that decision, it will show whose praise is more important to me. It will show, do I love the praises of men more than the praises of God, or do I love the praises of God more than the praises of men? What is it that motivates me? In conclusion, I draw your attention to two men. The Bible identifies them as chief rulers. They were a part of Sanhedrin. They were rulers of the people. They were individuals who, like others, had places of prominence. But they were also individuals who made a public show their affection for Jesus. When he breathed his last breath upon the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. He gave up the ghost. Pierced his side, and blood and water flowed. They knew that Jesus had died. Disciples had scattered. They'd walked with him for 3.5 years. They'd been seen with him numerous places. Peter had just hours before denied that he even knew him. Now was weeping and repenting. Disciples were gone away. The only one of there ever being an indication of being at Calvary is John. He's there with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Do you know who it was? Came and begged the body of Jesus. You know what? Two men, the Bible says, took him down and wrapped him in fine linen, covered him with spices. You know what two men it was that took the oils and the incense and rubbed it into the skin of the deceased man that they had talked about numerous times behind closed doors. It was two chief rulers, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Came to a point at the cross as they stood and they looked at the man that they had talked about and they realized he was now dead. Some resolve must have crept up in their soul. As the Bible says, Joseph went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who took him down, rubbed in the spices, wrapped him in linen, and laid him in the tomb. Read it. Whose praise is more important? It reached a point where they didn't care anymore. It reached a point where even if everybody sees me, I got to get the body of Jesus. So here these chief rulers walk up to the cross, take the body of Jesus, and lay it in a tomb. They reached a point where they determined the praises of God were more important to them than the praises of men. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you may be struggling with. What decisions you may be contemplating. I don't know what relationships may be reeling right now because of choices that are made, but I promise you, if you choose Jesus, if you choose to make Him know that His praise is more important than all others. We don't know the names of many of the other chief rulers, but we know the names of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Choosing the praises of God rather than the praises of men. Ultimately, you will benefit. So I just rise on this Sunday morning to once again encourage you. Consider the question, whose praise is more important? If I can act one way in the house of God and act another way outside, I am living out my decision. I'm identifying to all those around about me. The praise of men is more important than the praise of God. How about it this morning? These altars are open. Maybe you need to re-solidify your statement. Maybe you need... I believe, Pastor, but I need to show more. I need to confess. I need to align my life with what it means to be a follower. I need to forsake all. I need to get up the courage and the faith that I can live out a life that shows to all around about me the praises of you are more important than the praises of others.
Enough of getting everything we want. We are weary of living this life just.
There's no relationship that's more important than my relationship with God. Father, son, mother, daughter, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend.
Come and empty us, Father, we're desperate in this.
I appreciate all those human relationships, and I do. I would be amiss and I would be wrong to say I don't enjoy those praises.
Give us your desire.
I would be wrong to state that I don't want the praises of men. But the real question is, whose praise is more important?
Revelation and healing visitation. Nothing else.
Let me live it out in my life. life, God. Let me show it in my everyday life.
And more and more and more of you.
Your praise is more important. How you feel about what I do and where I go is more important to me than all the opinions of others.
You have given us so much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father. This is what we're living for.
I just want to hear the words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Fill us with your fire.
I just want to be pleasing to my Father.
Nothing left.
I want to do right by my relationship with God.
Holy
He's done right in regard to His relationship with me.
Revelation, a healing visitation, nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more. Oh, the love that covers us. Oh, the Savior's mercy. All the blood that makes us spotless bride. All the love that covers us. All the Savior's mercy. All the blood that makes us spotless bride. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire.
Father, we love you.
Give us your desire.
Thank you for your goodness towards us.
Hold us close to you.
I seek to put a smile on your face
Holy
in what I do.
Spirit, give us
revelation. I seek to be pleasing unto you in the choices that I make.
Visitation, nothing else.
Your desire holds more sway over my life than
we
anyone.
We want more and more and more and more of you. So much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father. This is what we're living for. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more. Hold the Savior's mercy. Hold the blood that makes us spotless bride. Hold the love that covers us. Hold the Savior's mercy. Hold the blood that makes us spotless bride. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desire.
Lord, we thank you for your word.
Hold us close.
Thank you for this time together. We thank you that once again we are challenged.
Holy Spirit, give us revelation.
I pray, God.
We
carefully consider the choices that we make, the company that we keep. We would do so in recognition.
Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire.
Whose praise is more important? The way you feel would have more sway. The decisions that I make more than anything else. For your praise is more important to me.
Nothing else will do.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want more and more and more and more of you. We want more and more and more and more of you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Feel you need to pray, it's always appropriate and right. Feel you need to go. I bless you for being in service this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.